Good morning. My name is Shirley Fox. Whoops, I guess I should stand here. Is this better? Okay. My name is Shirley Fox, and today I am so happy to be your large group leader for Olivet Kids. In fact, it seems that I'm the leader of a very large group today, and that is really fun for me. Since Christmas time, we adults here in the sanctuary have been privileged to hear many stories about how God is working to build God's kingdom, both here in our neighborhood and around the world. We've learned about God's work in Africa, China, Germany, at Barnabas camps, at high schools where Young Life is present, and in the Journey Home houses next door to the church. God's kingdom is happening. It's here. And today's lesson is going to be about building. What is God building? What are you building with your life? And what are we as a church building as part of God's kingdom work? We're going to start our lesson time with a song that is an old favorite here at Olivet. We used to sing it 25 years ago, and I think it still works well for our theme of building today. And I'd encourage, if you are sitting with kids, you might want to come closer to the front for the rest of the story this morning, because you'll be able to see better. So parents and kids, or grandparents and kids, if you want to just come out while we sing, for I'm building a people of power. Thank you. Okay, we did that part of the job. Have you ever seen a torn down house or a building? It's basically a pile of rubble. Rubble means a lot of broken down things like pieces of wood or glass, rocks, bricks, broken concrete. And today's part of the big God story that we are learning about at Olivet Kids, the story picks up with the Israelites, God's people, living in a foreign land while their home Jerusalem is a pile of rubble. Jerusalem is the city where King David lived and worshipped God. Many years after King David ruled over Israel, an enemy nation called Babylon took over Jerusalem and destroyed it. They tore down the city walls and they took the Israelites captive to Babylon. You see, years earlier, God had told the people that if they faithfully worshipped God, God would bless them. But if they disobeyed God, there would be consequences, and their land would be destroyed. But God is a loving God, and he promised that even if the people disobeyed him 100 times, God would still love them if they turned back to him. Well, many years after Babylon, a new empire rose up. It was the Empire of Persia. Remember how the Israelites had been taken captive? Well, the Persian king actually allowed the Israelites to return to Jerusalem. even though it was still rubble and all broken down. But the Israelites wanted to go back. They set up villages and towns around Jerusalem, and they hoped that one day they would rebuild the temple and the city and the walls that surrounded the city. Because the walls around the city had been destroyed, the people didn't feel very safe living inside the city area. But God had a plan to rebuild their home and his temple. I think my vest will be a bit big, but it will work. It's got a lot of Velcro. Did I put it on right? No. There we go. That'll do. Okay. And my tool belt. Let's see. Sean, if that interferes with sound, just let me know. Oh, most important. How do I look? Do I remind you? Do I remind you of maybe Tim the Toolman Taylor? Yeah. We used to watch that show a long, long time ago, except he wasn't a very good carpenter. And maybe I look like Bob the Builder. I know, those are very cool videos. But actually, today I'm going to tell you the story of another builder. Not Tom or Bob, but a guy named Nehemiah. Now, it's four sounds. Nehemiah. Can you kids say that with me? Nehemiah. That's right. He was one of the Israelites who had been taken captive and sent to a foreign land. His job was to work in the palace of the king of Persia. Nehemiah had a very important and risky job. He was the king's cupbearer. That meant he had to taste all the stuff that the king was going to drink, just in case somebody tried to poison the king. And so far, so good. He and the king were both still alive. One day, he heard the bad news about the people of Jerusalem, how they didn't have a wall to protect them.
From the Bible, these words. While I was in the capital of Susa, one of my brothers, Hanai, came with certain men from Judah, and I asked them about the Jews that survived, those who had escaped captivity, and about Jerusalem. And they replied, "The survivors there in the province who escaped captivity are in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been destroyed with fire." When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven.
God spoke to Nehemiah's heart. And Nehemiah did fast and pray to God. Fasting means when you don't eat, but you concentrate and pray to God instead. He prayed to God. He confessed the sins of all of God's people, including his own sins. And he begged God to remember the promise that God had made to bring the people back home if they turned their hearts back to God. And then Nehemiah made a very big decision. He decided to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. on earth was he going to do that?
From the Bible again. I carried the wine and I gave it to the king. Now, I had never been sad in his presence before. So the king said to me, "Why is your face sad? And since you're not sick, this can only be sadness of heart." Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my ancestors' graves, lies waste and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. And then I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor with you, I ask that you send me to Judah so that I may rebuild it."
Nehemiah then asked the king for the wood to rebuild the walls around the city and for some soldiers to keep him safe as he traveled to Jerusalem. Nehemiah was doing something pretty risky. He could have gotten into a lot of trouble with the king. It was a lot to ask for. But God was helping Nehemiah. Let's find out what happened.
From the Bible, just one sentence this time. "And the king granted me what I asked because the gracious hand of God was upon me."
Yes. Nehemiah got the king's A-OK. When Nehemiah first arrived in Jerusalem, he went on a mission to inspect the broken down walls. One night, he and a couple of his men rode around the city in secret and checked out all the places that they would have to rebuild. Then the next morning, Nehemiah told all the people his plan. He said, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. For the gracious hand of God is upon us." Well, the people were keen to do it, and they started working right away. Now, this is where I'm going to need some helpers. And I'm suggesting that maybe the parents come up with the children who would like to help me build the wall. Come on up. Come. Let's start with the big, big pieces first. Okay, well, let's start with the big ones.
Yeah,
well, just one at a time. That's it. Okay, parents. Okay, start with the big, big, big blocks first. We're going to make a wall just right along here. That's right. Okay. Well, because there was so much work to do, everybody got involved. Everybody in the community helped. The priests, the singers, the merchants, the servants, the people who worked with gold, the people who made perfumes. Okay, that's great. That's great. Let's wait because I need a few more bricks for another minute. Now you can sit down. Okay. No. Sit here. Here. You wait here. Yeah, come. Okay, good. Well, the people who worked with gold built the wall. The people who made perfumes built the wall. The men built the wall, the women built the wall, the kids built the wall. Everybody helped. They all worked together. But you know what, boys and girls? There were some big problems. There were enemies in the surrounding area around the city of Jerusalem who were getting kind of nervous about this wall because they didn't want Jerusalem to be strong again. So they tried to discourage the Israelites from rebuilding. I'd like this half of the church to say boo, and I'd like this half of the church to say hiss. Here we go. One, two, ready.
Boo!
That's what was happening. All the enemies were gathering round and they were trying to stop the Israelites from building the wall. And the higher, the stronger, the bigger the wall got, the more Israel's enemies tried to stop it. But God protected his people. Let's find out from Miriam. Just wait with the bricks.
So in the lowest part of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people according to their families with their swords and spears and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles and officials and the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome."
All right. Well, now I need two volunteers. How about you and you? Would you come with me? Leave your bricks for a sec. Because it just said that they had swords and spears. Now, this is a really big one, so you're going to have to be super careful, okay? And you go on the other side. Where your dad? Yeah, no, other side. Over there. Over there. Stand guard. Yep. And you come a little closer. Come a little closer. It's not poisonous. No, you don't have to worry about it. Okay. Well, so the workers carried swords and spears to protect themselves, or they set guards up like we did. And the workers kept building, and God protected his people. And the people worked so hard that they finished it lickety-split. Guess how many days it took? Don't tell Timothy if you know. Do you think it took 52 years? No. Do you think it took 52 weeks?
No.
Do you think it took 52 days?
Yes.
52 days. That would be sort of like between now and about a week after Easter. That's how short, actually, it took. They never could have finished it that quickly without God's help. All right?
So the Bible says, so the wall was finished in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, those boers out there, all the nations...
Yeah, that's right.
All the nations around us were afraid. And they fell greatly in their own esteem, for they saw that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God.
All right. Now, boys and girls, your job is to finish the wall and then go sit back down in the seats. Way to go, guys. And guards, you could maybe lay your spears and your shields in front of the wall when it's done. Okay? That's your job. Super. Wow. Look what happens when we work together. Isn't it cool? Yeah, well, we might have to put some of these pieces we can stabilize like that. Okay, whoa. Okay, so why don't you just... Yeah. Okay, what a super car. Okay, now you can put your things down there. Oh, no, lay it on the floor. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Joanna, that's a great idea. Do you want to put it on the side? That is perfect. Thank you. Good job. Okay, you guys can go sit down now. Well, I'm wondering what happened next. Did the people say, "Wow, isn't that great? We did it. Now we're safe. We can go home." No! They had just finished a huge building project, which they couldn't possibly have done without God sending Nehemiah and without God's help. It was great. They were safe. They could live inside the city in safety. But something else happened to the people. God helped them build a wall, but God also changed their hearts. After they finished the wall, the people of Israel gathered together and listen to the word of God read aloud to them, kind of like we do at Olivet Kids. They worship God. They confessed that they had disobeyed God, and they promised to live as God's people. And then they had a huge party to celebrate. The party was called the Festival of Booths. They made tents and shelters out of branches and sticks, and they camped out in them for 7 days. It was so much fun. Because God loved his people so much, he forgave them, and he brought their city back to life, and he brought them back into relationship with him. That's the kind of God that we worship and serve. Nehemiah did a great job of organizing the building of the wall. He used the gifts that God had given him to do the work God was calling him to do. And all of the people joined in and did their part in the project as well. Now, we here at Olivet are not exactly building a wall. In fact, our kingdom work is often about tearing down walls. Not real ones. Although, about 20, 25 years ago, lots of Olivet people tore down some of the walls in our church to help make it bigger and better so that we could serve our community. Our job as God's people is to tear down walls that divide people into groups, like us and them, or rich and poor, single people and married people, old people and young people, English-speaking people and other language-speaking people, healthy people or sick people. But God loves everyone just the same. God wants everybody to belong in the kingdom. We can help God in the work of building God's kingdom. We can do it on our own. For instance, kids, when you help a new kid in your class find the playground and play with them at recess, that's helping God build God's kingdom. Or when you share your toys, that's building God's kingdom. Adults can build God's kingdom too. They do it when they're honest at their jobs, or when they are friends with someone who is really different from who they are. And the cool thing is, we can also do it together as a church community, all the people in this room. Like when we put gifts under the Christmas tree for guests at Journey Home Welcome Houses, or when we invite our friends and neighbors to come to Olivet Kids, or to the pancake supper, or to the big gig, or when we let the food bank use our gym on Thursday mornings. God is always building the kingdom, and our job is to figure out what our part of the work might be. We can't be Tim the Toolman Taylor or Bob the Builder, but we can be Shirley the Friend, or Mary the Babysitter, or Sean the Bible Study Leader, or Heather the Cook, or Timothy the Supporter of Marilyn. Let's ask God for help to build God's kingdom. And that means we're going to put our hands together so they're not busy, and we're going to close our eyes, and we're going to talk to God. Thank you, God, for this wonderful story of Nehemiah the builder and how you helped him and the Israelites do their job. Thank you that your kingdom is happening right now. Thank you that you are in the business of building it. Help us do our part on our own and also as a church community. Help us find ways to build your kingdom, because it is yours. In the name of Jesus, amen.